This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith.
Rust. Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixies out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around and think of that happiest thought. We are flying away to Neverland. Again, actually, this time we flew away to Marceline. Again, it's Toon Fest time. I, of course, am your head lost boy here. I am Jeremy. You can call me the Spider Pan. I'm standing here at Toon Fest 2019 here in Marceline. I'm waiting for the parade to start. I'm going to be taking some video. It will be on our YouTube channel. In fact, I have two YouTube channels. If you look for Neverland to Disney and Beyond, you'll find one YouTube channel. I've got another one under the name of Spider Pan, which that's kind of just my own personal channel, but the video will probably be up on both. But we're about set here to have a good time. I'm here out here with my wife. Lost Boy Philip was not able to join me this time, but we are here, we are live, and we're having a good time because it's Toon Fest time.
Please honor our colors. Princesses. No, wait a minute. I got on the wrong pair of glasses. No, film. I had the right ones on. The bridge says, "Our Walt Disney Hometown Museum." Our volunteers, they give you tours, they do everything possible to give you such an enjoyable trip through the museum. Thank you, ladies, princesses. Hey, one of our Grand Marshals, Dick Durenstein. Hello there. Good morning. Here we have our second year in the parade, our friends from Brazil, all the way from Brazil. Thank you very much. Did you walk, take a bicycle, or what? Did you fly? And I bet you aren't too tired. Okay, all right. I believe you would call these the Marching Tigers, Marshalling High School Marching Band. Chair for them. Good morning. Yes, you're doing the princess wave. There you go. got it down. Smile. This is supposed to be painless. Hey, yeah, there you go. Okay, this next bunch of fellas here, they are brought to you by the letter R. Okay, anyway. Here's our pirates. I think those guys got to be going over to the Muddy Pearl or something here afterwards. And watch out for them because there's swashbuckling that may be taking place. I don't know exactly what that is. Watch out for all planks. They may ask you to walk them. And our Shriners, thanks for being here, guys. Nobody leaves. Play up. Let's go marching band. And this vehicle coming up here, Tim McCoy, our Tim representing. Yes, Chris is here. Now let's do this real quick. Yes, Chris is in the back there. The Chris is on all his granddaughters. Hi, ladies. Okay. And looks like Joyce and her jokes still didn't make it.
Well, the parade is completed on One Direction. Of course, small town parade. They will turn around and come right back up Main Street. I have noticed that the parade seems very small this year. There's not as many tents out in the park. And there's not as many crowds. It's like this is a lot smaller this year. This is the first of, or the last official year for Toon Fest. Next year will be something new. I guess they're not even going to call it Toon Fest. I'm even seeing the Toon Fest office does not have the familiar Toon Fest logo on the window. So, well, it's a little nerve-shocking, but there is something that, you know, after 20 years, they just want to change it up. So next year there will be something, but I guess it won't even be called Toon Fest. I'm not even sure what they'll call it next year. But this almost seems like the embers of it are still going on here. There's a bit of a wind gust out here today. We're hoping it doesn't storm on us. It is a cloudy day, and, you know, since I do weather over at a station up in Cameron, I do know we have a 50% chance of rain this afternoon with storms overnight, so we're hoping the rain stays away. Another odd thing I'm noticing is usually KQ2 from St. Joseph shows up to this and films it with a weather girl comes out here. I do not see her this year. So, very strange this year. Found a Lou Mangiello fan and his wife out here. I'm so bad with names though that I don't remember names. It's terrible. But he's wearing a WDW radio shirt out here. He's actually gotten to meet and talk with Lou, and Lou's spoken at, or at least over Facebook with he's part of a gardening group, I think he said. But had a nice conversation with other people. It's nice to find other podcast fans and hopefully they'd listen to the show at some point over here. But Lou apparently just as cool in person as he is on the show, and I hope people who meet me in person always think the same of me. But I'm going to look at our exhibit, and if you look on our website, there will be photos. There's always an art exhibit over at this thing. And the fun part about when my wife doesn't follow me into things is I seem like I'm talking to myself and people look at me funny. But so I'm going to go look here at some of the artwork. And like I said, I will take some photos. They will be up on our website, neverlandpodcast.com. So somewhere I like to visit every year that I come out here is the post office here in Marceline, where the Walt Disney stamp was first released and issued back in 1968 on September 11th. So let me take you a tour through this little post office here. There we go. I've got to slip my hand in there. There we go. You see, they lobbied it in 1966, as you can see here on the sign, to make a stamp in his honor. Inside of this post office, you can also get a little Marceline envelope, and they'll stamp it, and it has a picture of the Dreaming Tree on it. So now we are in, I call it the Legendary Ma Vicks. I guess it's not necessarily legendary, but it is the place to eat in town.
I think it's pretty legendary.
Yeah. The food is good. I'm going to put this closer to you because you're quieter than I am.
Well, I'm not going to shout. We're inside. Other people are around.
I know. We're indoors. It's busy in here. I don't think I've ever come in here before noon. I think I've usually tried to wait like after because it's really busy around noon over here because everybody wants to come for lunch.
It's very popular, yes.
Very good stuff. But there's not as much to look at in the park. I don't know if I'm going to any symposium. There's one Disney artist here, clearly. I don't know which one he is. I don't know when he's going, so.
Well, it's kind of a transition year, it seems like, that we're going from the way that we used to know Toon Fest. Like, but we don't know what's going to come next, apparently.
Yeah. And from what, I don't think I've recorded this yet, but I have talked with Kay Mallins and Peter Whitehead, and basically the volunteers for Toon Fest have all stopped after 20 years. It's time for something else, something new. But the museum is going to take it over and have something new next year, but nobody knows what it's going to be. But there will be something next year, and it's run by the museum. So I feel like there's more to the story, but, you know, no one's going to say more to a story, and I think we'll just leave it at that.
That may be all that there is, though, because 20 years is a long time to volunteer for
something. But all of them leaving at once is kind of sad, and it makes me wonder why. Did they all just decide we're tired of this? I mean, this...
We just can't make any assumptions.
Yeah, I don't want to make any assumptions, but it's just, wow. And, you know, they're all... have this look. Like, there's a determined look that I've seen them get on their face, but it also seems like it's a little sad, a little bit.
Well, yeah.
For people. So,
It's been a nice little thing.
It's been a nice run for 20 years of Toonfest.
Yeah.
So they're selling the last few Toonfest t-shirts. I'm glad I've got one. I almost bought one for Philip, but I found other things I wanted to buy Philip for his late birthday stuff in the antique shop, because I love shopping in the antique shop. I even found a 50th anniversary of Disneyland pin for $2.50. That's a good find, I think. I got to make sure I just don't lose it, because I don't tend to collect pins, but this makes two pins that I've got that are rare. Now, I need to put them on something. And there was a lot of other pins. They had, like, specific exclusive cast member type pins. And even a pin that you wear if you're an official pin trader for the parks. They had one of those. So, yeah, ordered unsweetened tea so you could sweet it with whatever you want, huh? Yeah, we just ordered our tea, and we've ordered some taco salads, which is kind of my usual, and we're going to eat our taco salads at lunch, and then we're heading for the museum. Yay! I like the museum. There's usually something new every year. I don't know what might be new, because Peter just came back. So, we'll see. Okay, so inside Mob Vix, there's, like, pictures. They've labeled some of the pictures, but there's... I don't know if this was actually film used when they were making it. But there's this cell art of all the dwarves there with their dirty hands from Snow White. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. But that movie is interesting, but doesn't really get good until all the dwarves show up, in my opinion. You just can't keep eating.
Yeah, there's a certain levity that comes to it when they show up.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Yep.
That was a big conversation.
Sorry.
So, all right, now we did hear, I don't even know if I'm going to talk about that talk, that they're going to try to do a live-action version of that, but what would you do for the dwarves? Would you actually find some little people, you think? You think you'd find enough that could be good dwarves? Or would that be insulting to them? I almost wander in these days. Because, like Lord of the Rings, they had to do camera tricks. I mean, they did use some little people for long shots. But just because they're called Seven Dwarfs in modern age, some get offended by that.
I thought there was already a live-action, like, Sleeping Beauty. Not Sleeping Beauty. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Not Disney.
No, it wasn't Disney. But I think they did use...
They did use some little people in that one.
They did use little people, yes.
So, you can probably do it.
Yeah.
And if you get, like, Peter Dinklage, you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
He'd be an awesome grumpy. He's really good at that sort of thing. But I don't know a lot of little actors that, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know who you'd find for the rest, because you got to get just the right people. Yeah, so we can't talk about casting them. I'd still rather they don't do it.
Yeah, their live-action remakes have just really not been very good. I've just not been very impressed.
They're making a lot of money on them.
I know. But that doesn't mean they're any good. Not as good as what we're hoping it would be.
I've liked some of them. Enough to have bought some. I even liked The Lion King, even though people were complaining that the facial expressions aren't really there. I liked it.
Oh, I didn't see The Lion King. The Cinderella one I liked.
Yeah. This is a great conversation. But let's go back to a conversation we had earlier, and your ideas of having like an unbirthday party, tea party.
Oh. Yeah, it's something I've had in my mind because I wanted to have a house for a long time, and I like Alice in Wonderland, especially the animated one. And so I always thought it would be cool to have like a flower garden or a garden that is kind of like Alice going into Wonderland. So you got the flower bed with the singing flowers, like have those flowers that are represented there, you know, in the flower bed. Maybe even get fancy and have like a pool of tears, like, you know, water coming out of the drinking bottle, you know, and have a little chest that has, you know, eat me on it and the like. But it would be fun to have on birthday parties, like have tea parties, but you'd have to have an assortment of chairs, assortment of different kind of teapots and teacups and things like that. And Jeremy had the thought of like...
I'm going to tell my idea.
Okay,
so I was thinking we need an assortment of teas. So when you're at a chair, whatever tea is there at your place, you drink that tea. When you finish your tea and everybody's done, you'll declare clean cup because you finished the tea, so you don't drink a full cup. And then you all move down, and when you move down, take your cup with you, I guess, so you have your cup or something. You have a different kind of tea at the next chair that you have to try, so that way you get to try new types of tea. So in a clean cup, is I've got a clean cup, move down, you're moving down to a new type of tea to try. See, and that's fun. I like that idea.
I've also seen where people take like the larger square pavers and do like a checkerboard in the yard. So you could have like a big chess game, you know, and I mean, or checker game, because there's people that'll make big checkers and then you can move them, you know, or a big tic-tac-toe or that kind of thing. You know, you could have lawn games.
And when you lose, we cut your head off.
No.
But really, what we should do is play cards.
Yeah, but chess is fun too.
I don't remember chess really popping up in the animated version.
Other than like, well, okay, maybe that's a little more of like from the live action one with Johnny Depp and the like, because they did a little bit more of that there. But no, through the Looking Glass, there are chess pieces, and actually the directions that she go is based on chess moves.
Okay.
And then the Looking Glass book.
Of course, now my thought, play some sort of card game, but also set up a croquet set and play croquet.
Oh yeah, you have to have croquet.
Uh-huh.
There was a partial croquet set in the antique store.
Well, partial doesn't do much good.
No, it doesn't do much good. It was still cool because it was like antique, you know.
Yeah, we have a yard. It would be fun, actually. If you have enough space, have a croquet. Well, the one house that we both kind of looked at, though, it did have a big backyard with a grill and stuff, even.
Yeah, we just have to see. We don't know what kind of house we're getting. You know, I mean, we know kind of how many bedrooms and all that stuff, but...
How many veterans we won, anyway?
Yeah, but we don't.
Oh, which I guess I haven't made the announcement onto the podcast yet. We have been approved for a loan for a home, and we are looking for a home. We've got a realtor contract for at least the next year, although we need to get the home within 60 days because we're going to have to file 60 days with our apartment. So if I have a week that we miss a show, it's probably because we were just really too busy trying to get this settled. I'm hoping I won't miss a week, but it could happen. It's possible because, you know, we're going to try to move a bit at a time. Heather just ate a big onion. And she's taking a drink. But we'll let you know if anything happens. But we're house shopping. And she's still dying on that onion. All right, so here we are. Oh, there's a mattress store. That wasn't here last year. What is... Maisie Appliances. There's some new shops that always pop up. But we're getting sprinkled on a little bit of rain. It's a nice light rain though. Not
so
bad.
So far.
Yeah. We're hoping no storms. But we're walking down here to the rather famous Uptown Theater. Wonder if they have anything going on in here today. Well, this is new. They have a little seating area. Did there used to be a shop over here? No, I don't think so. All right, so the Uptown Theater, this is where they premiered the great, The Great Locomotive Chase, yeah. Which, you know, I haven't watched that. I hope they put it on Disney Plus. Because we watched part of it one year. It was a show on a screen at the museum.
Yeah.
But we've never seen the entire movie. And it ran from 1:30 in the afternoon until 1:30 a.m. the next morning. So everybody in town could see the movie when Walt Disney came here to premiere it. And the kids all from the school came and learned how to sing the Mickey Mouse March and came and sang it to Walt. Mm-hmm. And he came out, wiped a little tear away, pointed at the clock and says, time for the show. Mm-hmm. And that was the first showing. And then I think my mom actually came up for this. The Spirit of Mickey is the commemoration when they put it on video back in 1998. I think I remember mom having some photos. They premiered that in this theater. But it's completely sealed off now. It used to be you would walk into the theater, and they were showing like cartoons and stuff in here.
Need some repair, though. I think that's why.
Yeah. And it smelled like a musty basement. Yeah. It really did. But Goofy is still sitting here in the ticket booth. My voice is cracking up. Right next to the Walt Disney Hometown Bed and Breakfast. One of these days I should... oh, look, Cafe Marceline is still here, but no, this isn't where we got the ice cream, though. You can get coffee in there, I think. Yeah. I think we've tried some of the coffee in there before, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So we're walking back down. Well, that's pretty much as far as we want. Well, I guess there's a little toy company up here.
Where'd they put the little Autopia thing?
That's over by the museum.
Oh,
which
okay.
We're going to go to next.
Oh, okay.
So, I'd be filming as we're walking down here, but it started to rain. I don't want to get my camera out. Oh, look, this is new. I need to get a picture of this. I don't remember ever seeing this big mural over here. Yeah, there's this really neat mural, and I'm going to stop recording so I can get a photo. All right, so I want to kind of describe this mural. This is neat because you can see, I mean, there's... If you were coming in off of 36 Highway, where we're at now, and you're coming, there's Casey's General Store down over here.
Yep. There's a funeral home, lumber company, like what it looks like when you pull off of 36 to go actually into Marceline.
Whoa.
Proper.
Time out. Come over here.
I see that.
There's a Billups over here on the cemetery. There's Mount Olivet. I guess it might be where they have some military, but Heather's maiden name is Billups. And there's Billups over here, and you've got family from up...
From north of here. No, but I don't know which one it is. I'd have to ask my parents.
I think I need to take a photo of that as well, and we'll show it. But I like it that it has a Walt Disney quote, "To tell the truth, more things of importance happened to me and Marceline than have happened to me since, or are likely to in the future." So they have that on one side. I'm not sure what's up with... I think this must be the Dreaming Tree. Yeah, this is the Dreaming Tree. Because there's Walt down there as a little boy. Next to his tree, and there's the barn and the house. That must be that hotel I stayed in that was terrible. It was. I didn't get any sleep. It was not great. But there's only one hotel in town. But if you look here at the street where it's got the main street... Oh, there's the Elvis that's in the wall.
Yeah, we've
over there. There's the church. There's the Zarcher, whatever, I think, building right there, where you normally would see the Coke corner is there. They didn't paint the Coke thing on there because, you know, licensing and stuff. But they have, like, all the buildings along there painted on this mural. There's Mavix, right next to there's the park, and they drew it with that weird ride. Remember, we saw it when we came here for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right next to the library. So I guess that's the museum. Well, no, that must be the museum here. From this angle, that would be the museum. There's the Dollar General, which is actually right down from us. They put everything. There's the old pool that's up there from the old Walt Disney Park, where they had the pool. I don't think they fill it anymore.
You got the school down there, it looks like.
Yeah, you can even see the school. There's the high school and the football field.
Is that a police station? Looks like a police and fire station.
But this is really neat. I mean, just the detail. It's the whole town has been drawn up.
Oh,
and look, oh my goodness, look over there. It was done in 19 by somebody named Billups, Marceline Mural. There was a Billups who drew this.
I think that's what all those are, people who helped work on it.
Uh-huh.
So I'll have to ask around and see.
And there's a hashtag, Marceline Mural. We have to investigate. There may be a relative of yours around here.
Oh, it could be. Very well could be.
One more thing that we should do while looking at this. Find the hidden Mickey, because I bet you there is one. I almost think that this looks like one here, but it's an incomplete. There's like all these tree things, and there's almost like half a Mickey head with one ear. But there should be a hidden Mickey. You would think there would be one. It's going to be a lot of boring silence for us to look for it this way, though. But, yeah. If we see one, we'll tell you. Oh, you found a hidden Mickey? Yeah, there it is in the bushes in front of the museum. Good for you. You found it. Awesome. So, yes, there's a hidden Mickey. I'm going to have to take some more detailed photos, I suppose, so people can see the hidden Mickey. All right, so we've come by the Zurcher's Corner Store. And notice it's changed. They used to have a lot of like Mickey Mouse things, and now There's clocks, there's stuff on jewelry, and the interior has been fixed up a lot, which there seems to be a project going on from the museum. By the way, there's Chris over there.
Hey.
Some people that I've been talking to them on Facebook, and we know a lot of the same people, but we haven't met until today.
That's right.
But big Disney historian, classic Disney fan. Probably know some, because yeah, you've been to a lot of different places around Kansas City that I wasn't even aware had some history.
Oh, yeah.
So we are planning eventually. We've got to go and look at some places.
Yes, we will get together.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We've been trying to get it.
It'll happen.
And I'm going to be busy for a while looking for a house, so I don't know when it's going to happen. But this is the building which those who've been following it for a long time are going to remember us for the corner. Around the corner, it's Coke Corner. I probably had a full sentence going on before I shut off the camera. I don't know what it was. And Heather's hanging back because she's an introvert. But this is the original Coke Corner, which they restored, I want to say 5 years ago, I think, yeah. Which looks like it could use a few touch-ups already. It's starting to come apart. Which they had to have a guy from Coca-Cola come and do it because of the license and stuff. And I don't know if that means that the touch-ups would have to be them as well, because I'd hate to see this fade out.
And you know the story behind the Undertaker... The story
Yeah, where Walt used to work for that Undertaker. Didn't he? Well, yeah, no, I don't think that's the horse that he drew.
Well,
yeah.
He'd pretend
to be dead in the back of it,
yeah,
and Roy would drive
worked.
It. Yeah, Roy worked and Walt fooled
and
around.
Walt messed around and played dead in the back of the hearse.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool that sign's there. Because I know.
Yes, because it even has the furniture Undertaking. I almost forgot about that.
They kept it up there for a reason. It's cool.
See, this is where I'm going to get things more interesting because I forget stuff. And you're remembering things that I forget. Yes, but the Undertaker. And that would actually kind of illustrate the rest of my... Roy's playing, doing all the business, and Walt's playing around. That's pretty much the business.
Yep. That's pretty much the business. That was pretty much the business the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Foreshadowing.
Except for in Kansas City.
Yeah. But that's
Walt
why it failed.
Had that liberty.
Right. It's very appropriate that there's a railway car that's out here in Ripley Park. In fact, there's even some stuff about the dedication here. It was built in Kansas City, this here train. This is actually given to the city of Marceline by the Santa Fe Railroad Company in 1955 and restored in honor of Santa Fe employees who lost their lives on the job. But you see, it is marked as the Disneyland Railroad, which is very, very, very cool. But yeah, so this has been here, for a very long time. And so here it is. The new... Midget Autopia track. And there's kids out riding on it. Little pedal cars. And oh, look, some of the donair set. We're supposed to have bricks. The bricks are actually in the track. But it's a walking track, as Peter Whitehead had told us, so you can walk it. But you know, they've got these little car things kids can ride on. And I wish I'd have been able to donate to help bring it back, but you know, money's tight. But here it is, it's back. And there's a line of people out over here. It's built, it's reopened. I'm thinking they're gonna put a bit more grass on some of the dirt clods out here, probably this spring. There it is, and it's, the original location, of course, was in the Walt Disney Municipal Park, which I've got several videos of that showing. It was over by the Walt Disney pool, which they unfortunately have had to shut down since then because they couldn't afford to keep it going. The park is still there, and you can still see where the pool was. And I think I've been over by the lot of where the Midget Autopia at one time was. I even have a video of walking the original path of it. They've torn that completely out, though, and now here is this to replace it. Very cool. Oh, there's a little wall up here. Nice. I turned off the camera right after, and we were just saying, like, you know, this was Walt's happy land here in Marceline. Mm-hmm. Kansas City was where he learned his worth ethic.
Yep.
So he loved Kansas City as much as he loved Marceline, but had a different sort of love.
Yes, he did.
He learned stuff.
That's right, and he still went back to Kansas City, like I said, several visits back over the years. And there's actually some visits that he came to here that we don't know about because they weren't big events. I know he came back here several times that weren't like,
yeah.
It wasn't like this huge thing like it was when he came back the two main times everybody talks about.
Yeah.
We know he came back for one time just to basically film. And then he came back a couple more times, but there were other times like this that he would pop in here at random and people wouldn't really know about it.
Yeah, we're gonna lose sound a little bit because the train. because the trains keep it rolling all night long around here. Okay, and I did see a passenger train actually go through a little bit before, so.
Amtrak?
It might have been an Amtrak, yes. So I didn't think they had passenger trains through here anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, they don't stop here anymore, but I'm sure
they don't stop, but it's nice to see them go through, because I thought it was all commercial lines here. But yeah, the symposiums will be in here. We're going to wander them. Well, I guess I should see. There's at least one artist I might check into. So this room is fairly new. I don't recall ever seeing this room as fleshed out as it was before. But some interesting stories here that I did not know before, where Walt's uncle Mike actually was a conductor on the Santa Fe Railroad, and Walt would listen for his uncle to come along, and he would meet up his uncle, and then his uncle would let him ride in the engine of the train up to the station here. Also found out a little bit more about his brothers, Herb and Ray, that they earned $175 planting some acreage, spent $20 each over at the Zurcher's store on some gold watches, and they were about to go buy a heifer and a colt with the rest of their money, but their father demanded that they help pay the farm debts. So that's when they took their money from the bank and they left and went back to Chicago together on their own. So I didn't know what the cause was until today, because there's some new pictures and things out here. Very interesting. Hi, did you learn anything new? Because you read everything. Well, most everything. You've read a lot of stuff.
I did. I can't remember it all, though.
You can't remember what you read in the museum?
I guess I didn't know about him painting the bird on the side of the house.
Oh, you didn't know about that one?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I learned about that when they built it. Read the story. Which, to fill in, he got a hold of what he didn't know was tar, and started painting pictures on the side of the house.
Well, he thought he could just wipe it off and it wouldn't be a big deal, but the tar hardened, and then he couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
And it stayed on there for, like, the entire rest of the time that they lived at that house.
Now, one thing that was a fun new addition, speaking of that, was the, I'd heard the bits of the recording at his parents' 50th wedding anniversary. But it's hard to understand the recording when you would just walk in there. But they've got a monitor set up that now is playing video with that audio that has the text up of what the conversation is. And his parents bring that up. Oh, remember when you painted on the side of the house with the tar? And he said, I don't think that was me. That sounds like Roy did that. And so, oh no, it was you. You got to remember that lecture. So, yes, I do remember that lecture. I got but they never painted over that part of the house. They just kept it. They couldn't. What were they going to do about it?
They couldn't get it off,
it just stayed there.
The other thing I guess that was new is that I didn't know his mom had made, like, this really great butter.
Yep.
And, like, you know, would sell it. And then his father didn't want him, you know, using it at home. They wanted to sell it. So she'd sneak pieces of bread with butter, like, butter side down.
Yep.
Down the table to the kids, so the father wouldn't know that they...
So they'd be like, yeah, sure, Dad, we're eating. We're not putting any butter on our bread.
Yeah.
Yep. Because he wasn't a very successful farmer, but boy, she was successful with that butter.
With the butter, yeah.
Because people apparently would say that, oh, everybody's butter has flies in it, except for Flora's. Flora Disney's butter. There's a train coming.
Yeah.
A Flora's butter never has flies in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always a fun story. Also learned an interesting story because, okay, so Elias Disney had been a carpenter in Chicago, and I didn't know about this, but he went, he even built their house that they lived in Chicago, which has now been restored. But he was going to work somewhere as a carpenter, and the bricklayers were on strike, apparently. And one of these guys from this brick union was beating up on one guy, and Roy or Elias tried to sneak in so he could go and work because he needed to make his money, and the union guys attacked Elias. I gotta close in here because the train's going by.
Maybe you should wait till it's past.
Yeah. But so Elias was attacked by a union worker, and I'm wondering if that's something that Walt always remembered, because Walt was not a fan of unions, especially when that strike happened. But having a union person who had attacked your father, I'm sure
unions often have used bully techniques then and now.
Yeah.
To try to keep everybody together so they get, you know, they get what they want, but there are people that they just need to work.
Yeah. And Elias just needed to work. You know, he was struggling to keep his family. He was making about $1 a day, they were saying. It was about $7 a week, and he was providing for his family in Chicago until they bought the farm here in Marceline, where Uncle Robert was living here in Marceline, and helped him get the farm. All right, so final stop of the trip is the last place I go every year. I didn't visit every place today. Heather's been kind of tired today, so we didn't go to see the park. Plus, it's been kind of rainy out here, and we didn't go see the elementary school. But I have to come and see the old barn and where the Dreaming Tree was located out here on the old Disney farm. So this is definitely a not-missed opportunity, especially get to see, you know, Son of a Dreaming Tree, where, because the original Dreaming Tree, unfortunately, has been taken out by weather and lightning, but they've grafted off a piece, and they've made Son of Dreaming Tree, which is out here, and it gets bigger every year. I mean, the first year I was here, it was still like a seedling. It wasn't very big, and I'm looking at it now. Let's show you this here on the video that I'm making. So those of you on the audio podcast, you're not going to get to see this. You're going to have to go check out our video channel to go take a look at this. It's not quite in focus yet, but here's the sign. Son of the Dreaming Tree, planted in 2004. It's getting pretty big. Nice, good, healthy, strong, big tree. That's amazing. And here's the location of the Dreaming Tree over here. This is, of course, where Walt, on his duty on the farm, was basically kind of keep Ruth occupied. I mean, he took care of the cows, we found out, and he would take the cows down to water, and he'd kind of play with some of the animals, but he would sit there at the Dreaming Tree, and he would draw animals. He would come up with stories and tell Ruth, and Ruth would say he was like the greatest storyteller ever. And I did find in the museum that, you know, Walt continued to take care of his little sister Ruth, and would send her a monthly check to kind of take care of her with a little letter telling, you know, what was going on, how the family was, seeing how Ruth was doing. So very, very interesting. So, yes, location of the Dreaming Tree. But now as we walk this way, that we're coming up to the barn, where this is a recreation of the barn, and apparently there's a recreation of the barn out in California. I always forget what park they put it in. There's actually bits of the train, because I mean, Walt rebuilt this barn, really, in California to build his little miniature train, and I think that's the one that they have out in a park in California, which I would like to go and visit one of these days. So, here we go. But this barn also, in the movie So Dear to My Heart, this was what they made the barn look like, which I have not seen that movie. I'm hoping Disney Plus will have that movie, and I will watch it, as well as The Great Locomotive Chase, because I've never seen that movie. I'm also hoping that, because if Netflix doesn't have any more, that nice documentary that Diane Disney Miller made, that The Man, The Truth Behind the Myth, or whatever, I always forget the title of it. They show it at the museum, and the first time I saw it was here at the museum. I didn't stop and watch it today, because Heather was kind of tired, and we sat down a couple places, watched some old Mickey cartoons, watched a little bit of the Disneyland opening on the TV that Walt bought for his mother, because his mother doesn't like crowds, or didn't like crowds, and so she didn't want to come to the opening, but she could watch it on TV, and Walt sent her the money to buy one. So it's not the original tubes of the TV that you can watch it on. They've got a screen that they've put in there, but it's still the original box is here at the museum because his sister Ruth brought it. But here we go. People have climbed all over this sign here, but there's signatures all over the walls here inside the barn because they encourage people to sign and put nice well wishes, thank you Walt, and stuff like that. And as I walk, I believe it's over here. I did sign this. I've signed a couple places. There's somewhere on this I managed to sign, but it's really hard to see any of it. But I do have a board that I wrote on somewhere, and I'm going to look for it. It was kind of hard to reach, I must say, reaching up here. But yeah, I did sign my name on this. And there's not much for audio for me talking about it here, so I'll stop the video and the audio until I find it, and then I'll put it on the video. Just make sure you go visit our YouTube channel, and you can see where I signed it. So while I'm in this barn, there's kind of an interesting story, and I guess they don't have anything in here anymore. They used to have a little plaque telling this story, but I don't see it anymore. But Walt would put on a circus in here and have his dog try to do some tricks. And he tried to get the animals to do things, and he charged his friends a dime, I believe it was a dime, to come in and watch his circus, which turned out to be like, I got hiccups. It turned out to be pretty bad. So his mother, Flora, told Walt, if you can't satisfy your customers, you should give their money back. And so you should always try to give, you know, your best. And that's something I guess Walt took to heart. And so he always made sort of the best and made sure you got your money's worth. And so I'm sure there's been people who wanted their money back after visiting a Disney park. I mean, it's bound to happen. Somebody's going to. But I don't think that's a very common occurrence that people go into a Disney park and want their money back. But, yeah, so that's kind of an important thing here in this barn. Good story. Although I don't know if this is sitting on the actual spot where the barn used to be. It probably is. But it's just kind of a recreation here. But, yeah, good lesson learned from his mother. To get to some of the specifics here, there is a sign outside the barn I just spotted. Basically, the circus Walt had was a lethargic goat, a pig, and the family dog and cat dressed in Sister Ruth's doll clothing. When Flora heard about all this, she made Walt give back the money, and here's what she said. If you deliver more than your audience expects, they will never be disappointed. So there it is, the actual words that basically that's what Walt kind of built his parks with.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.